In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We hear about today in St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians something that I mentioned at the service for Christmas, the Nativity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, about how not only we celebrate on Christmas the Lord's first coming in the flesh, but we commemorate and we remember His second coming. And when He does that, how He will put to naught the things of this world. And we hear about St. Paul mentioning how He will put to death fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness. And we also hear how we should turn away from the things of this world now in this life. We should turn away from anger, wrath, malice, slander, and foul talk. But our reading today ends with what is perhaps the most important thing we can do. And not doing this and not living this way and seeing the world this way is perhaps the greatest evil that we can have. Because we hear St. Paul tell the Colossians, and through the Colossians he tells us, that here, we appear in God's glory with Him. Here, there can be neither Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and in all. Again, I say that not to see the world this way, that Christ is all and in all, and to see the world and to embrace the divisions that we human beings create. The reason that I say so clearly that this is perhaps the greatest evil in God's sight is because the book of Genesis, the Bible as a whole, begins with the very principle that we as human beings in our totality, not God, the book doesn't start with God creating the Jews or some other group of people, but we human beings in our totality, male and female, are created in the image of God. And we Christians, of course, proclaim that each of us is created in the image of God, no matter how much we might muddy that up with our sins. And that's why, some of you may not realize it, but that's why when the priest comes out and senses the icons, he then senses the people. Icon means image. Same word in Greek. You're translated either way, icon or image. You all are icons. You're images of God. And I don't go around and look and see, oh, maybe that person seems more in the image of God, I'm going to skip over them. You sense everybody. Because we're all in the image of God. And the Bible not just begins that way, brothers and sisters, but the Bible ends that way. Throughout the entire New Testament, we see Jesus' ministry is to reconcile all the divisions that we human beings have created amongst ourselves. And ultimately, it ends with all of those who put their faith in God being allowed entrance into the kingdom of heaven. And it's why in every story that we hear in the New Testament, including today, the parable of the 10 lepers, or the story of the 10 lepers, we see that Jesus highlights and glorifies someone who was considered to be an enemy of His people, the Jews. In this case, it was a Samaritan, someone that the Jews despised, someone who was essentially a heretical Jew. And we always despise people that are closer to us, right? People that are very similar to us, but a little bit different, we like to pick on the differences. And that's the way it was with the Jews and the Samaritans. And so Jesus, again, in today's gospel reading, uses the Samaritan as an example of the one who did correctly. And I challenge you, any of you, please, and I'll announce it publicly, if you beat me on this challenge, so to speak, is find one story in the New Testament where Jesus uses as an example someone who the rest of society, who his own people would have seen as the people who were in the right, who were the good guys, who were the righteous guys, who were the pious guys. Find one example. I'll announce it from the pulpit next week, if someone can find one example, because there is none. He always uses the outsider, the one who his people saw as being different. And this is an important message for us to remember, and it's a wonderful, beautiful coincidence that this year, this reading of St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians happens to fall on the same weekend as our country commemorates Martin Luther King Jr. Because what Martin Luther King Jr. taught us, and ultimately what we continue needing to be taught, is, as he said so famously, is that God judges the content of our character and not the color of our skin. And it's important for us to remember that God doesn't make distinctions the way that we human beings do between our different ethnicities, the color of our skin, anything else that you might determine as a difference. But God judges us as individuals. He judges us fairly. He judges us based upon the character of our lives, the way that we live our lives. And the reason that we were able to make any progress, and not to say that more can't be made in our society, but the reason that we were able to make any progress and that we continue to honor Martin Luther King Jr. to this day is because of his teaching of the scriptural message. That's what resonated with people. It wasn't people taking up arms. It wasn't people fighting one another in the streets. It was this message of Scripture that rang true. And it was the message of Scripture that ultimately confronted the majority, the white people, the races of this country, who claimed to be Christians, who sat in the pews. And it was these words that they hear preached to them every Sunday that started to change their hearts and their minds. And so we must continue to proclaim these words, because our situation is such that if we don't, we fall back into our old habits. It's been a sad thing for me to witness, because I know I've talked to my wife about this a great deal. We thought that our generation was perhaps going to be a generation that continued to move forward as it relates to racial progress in this country. And many of the people from our generation felt as though truly people should be judged by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin. But unfortunately, I have seen a different reality take shape in this country and in some of the younger generations, and that's why this message has to continue to be preached. You know, it's hard for me to believe, as many of you know, my wife and I happened to adopt a daughter who was black. We didn't seek out to adopt a black child. We actually sought out to be an emergency adoption parents if someone needed a home and they didn't have a parent. And it happened to be our daughter, who you all know as Simone, who we've had now for almost 14 years here in a couple of weeks. And it amazes me that even in this day and age, that she has heard people at her school call her the N-word. Not in a, you know, funny way, or a way that they're trying to be cute, or, you know, trying to fit in, or however you might say it, but in a derogatory way. Or to tell her that she looks like a monkey, or things of this nature. It's the reality that we live in this world. And I'm not sharing that to garner any sympathy. We teach her the same things, our understanding of what Scripture is and also of what Martin Luther King Jr. taught, which is show people by the content of your character. Show people by the way that you live your life that someone that is the same color as you should be honored and respected, just as everyone should be honored and respected. It's important, brothers and sisters, that we continue to keep this message at the forefront of our minds, Because again, we human beings tend to fall back into our bad habits. We tend to see people as different from us. You know, we've seen recently, if you've been paying attention, there have been a couple of situations that have happened that have been major events in the life of our nation. There were people when Russia invaded Ukraine who said openly, out loud, "This is really hard to see because they look like us. They're used to us, you know, getting involved in invading countries of people that are brown or darker skinned than we are." People just said it. I mean, at least they were honest. That's the reality. We see what's happening now in Palestine, where people are openly racist against people that have darker skin, people who are Muslims, people who are different, speak a different language than them. And ultimately, brothers and sisters, what we need to understand is this message, this scriptural message, from the very beginning until the end. We're all created in God's image. We are all children of God and worthy of the respect that we would give to God's image. I thought at one time that it was important for us to be so-called colorblind. That's something that we often hear people speak about. But Scripture has a different message for us. It doesn't ask us to be colorblind, and if you are colorblind, I'm sorry, that's fine, that's no problem from Scripture if you literally are colorblind. But this idea that somehow, oh, I don't see color. No, we see color. Let's be real. I see if someone has darker skin than me. I see if someone practices a different religion than me. I notice, obviously, if somebody lives in a different country than me. Scripture doesn't ask us to pretend that these differences don't exist. Scripture tells us to put them aside and recognize that you're brothers and sisters, that you're all created in God's image. Embrace the fact even that there are some differences. You know, one of the things that happened with the Apostle Paul and the conflict between him and the other disciples, and the conflict between him and other churches and other Jews, is that he told the Gentiles, you continue to live as Gentiles. You don't have to be circumcised. In those days when you had the Roman baths, people could see whether a person was circumcised or not. You could tell very clearly. And so St. Paul is teaching the people, it doesn't matter. You can be circumcised, you can be uncircumcised. What matters is whether you put your faith in the biblical God and whether you live by the way He teaches us to live, whether you behave towards others as He behaves so mercifully towards you. So as we hear these words of the Holy Apostle Paul to the Colossians, brothers and sisters, let us remember to embrace one another, to embrace those who are different from us. Embrace those who we don't understand. Some of the happiest days of my ministry is when a person has shared with me, Father, I really didn't like this person in the church. I had this conception of them, of what they were like. They were a lot different than me politically. Have a lot of different ideas than I have. But you know what? I sat next to them at the festival prep day, and we talked for a long time, and I thought about what you have said, and I realized, this is a good person. This is a brother, a sister in Christ, and I should not have that attitude towards them. Let us embrace that way of thinking, because it's God's way of thinking. He having created us all in His image, and let us go forth and behave in that way and show His image to the world. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. Amen.
Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens.
Lord, have mercy.
Thus the faithful pray for the catechumens that the Lord will have mercy on them.
Lord, have mercy.
That he will teach them the word of truth.
Lord, have mercy.
That he will reveal to them the gospel of righteousness.
Lord, have mercy.
Unite them to his holy Catholic and Apostolic Church.
Lord, have mercy.
Save them, have mercy on them, help them and keep them, O God, by thy grace.
Lord, have mercy.